You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A skillful mining of data can give you a pretty good snapshot of just how groups of people are faring, for better or for worse. Sarah Zerpicki wanted to learn just how Michigan women are faring in education, health, and the economy. She presented her findings in some blog posts for Michigan Future, the nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank that's based in Ann Arbor. Sarah is with us now via Skype. Sarah, what prompted you to want to dig in to learn just how women are doing?
Certainly now is a time when that question is being asked nationally with sort of more attention and focus than it has before. That made me curious to go back and look at sort of some of the same issues that we've explored for the entire state and see if they're hitting Michigan's women sort of differently than they are the general population.
And you did dig into a lot of different sources of data to put together the post. What were some of these sources you used?
I started with one of our sort of favorite reports, which comes out from the Michigan Association of United Way, is called their ALICE report, which is looking at a population of people who are living above the federal poverty level, but who are still really struggling to make ends meet. This turns out to be about 40% of Michigan's population. So I started there and then also expanded it by looking at census data and information from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Well, let's cut to the chase. How are Michigan's women doing?
The answer in my blog post was not great. The most striking thing that I found is really when you sort of put out the numbers that exist for the pay gap, and we know the pay gap is a problem nationally. When you really look at the numbers, it just hurts a little bit. And this is looking at all different levels of educational attainment, which is something I hadn't looked at before. When I look and see that women with a bachelor's degree, that their median income is less than that of men who have achieved some college or an associate's degree, you know, that really sort of struck a chord with me.
Also, men with a bachelor's degree are making more than women who have an advanced degree.
Yeah, this was true at every single level of education, that women were making less than men who'd achieved sort of the next lower tier of educational achievement.
And I know we're talking about Michigan, but one would suspect this is true across the country, no?
I think that this is pretty consistent with findings in a lot of places.
Sure. So back to Michigan, what does this mean, for example, making ends meet in households, especially the single women-led households with children?
Yeah, and that's where the ALICE report had a lot of good information. There are around 260,000 households that have children and are headed by women alone. Those households are really struggling. So around half of them are living in poverty. And then I believe another around 30% are sort of at that ALICE level where they are struggling to survive with sort of the basic necessities. And obviously childcare becomes a huge part of that household's budget.
You also found something I found, I guess, sadly unsurprising. You found women are underrepresented in the occupations that have the biggest paychecks, and the flip side, they're overrepresented in the lower paying jobs.
Yeah, this is related to sort of this growing trend that is really more the focus of Michigan Future's work, where we're not seeing a lot of growth in sort of middle wage, middle skill jobs. And so we're seeing that jobs that require a college degree are growing and those pay well, but that the other jobs that are growing are really low, don't require a lot of education, and pay terribly. And women are sort of overrepresented in some of those jobs, not mm-hmm. all, but it's a challenge that is difficult to untangle.
As far as education, you write in your blog post, Sarah, that that is one area where women are doing well compared with men in Michigan?
Yes. Women are sort of achieving on par with men. However, Michigan as a whole is not doing well mm-hmm. in terms of education. So we're really kind of underperforming in terms of getting our population to have the sort of representation in terms of college degrees that are helping economies to grow.
What about health? What's the broad picture for women in Michigan there?
I'm not a health researcher, but I found a really interesting data source that makes some sort of comparisons across the country. I found sort of one piece of good news, which is just that, especially due to the Medicaid expansion, Michigan is doing well in terms of health coverage for women. So we're 13th in the nation there. So that's great. But I found startling data around how we're doing in drug deaths and excessive drinking. We're sort of 37th and 40th there, and 33rd in terms of maternal mortality. And we're also doing pretty poorly in terms of funding women's health services. We're just a few away from last in that area.
And then you also say you didn't go looking for the statistic, but you found a pretty sorry one as far as how Michigan's doing in intimate partner violence.
Yeah, it showed that almost 42% of Michigan women are expected to experience intimate partner violence over their lifetime.
And you wrap up your two blog posts for Michigan Future, and I'll quote you here. Just for grins slash frowns, I counted the number of women in Michigan State House and Senate. What'd you find?
The percentage in the House was less than 30%. You'd hope that it would be 50 if we were just going for gender parity. But the House outperformed the state Senate, where only 13% of our representatives are women.
Did you find anything that jumped out at you as far as good news? Because it certainly seems like there's a lot of challenges. And as you say, Michigan's women not doing great.
I guess I would say the closest thing to good news is in terms of educational achievement that we are on par with men. But that actually also sort of follows a national trend. And what's really important from our perspective is we address that problem in its entirety, that we need to be providing access to better educational opportunities for our entire population.
So you've got this research out there now. You've got the blog post that you wrote for Michigan Future. What would you like to see happen with this information?
Well, we're advancing a report that is really an agenda for the entire state in terms of public policy that wrestles with some challenges that we don't think our leaders are addressing sufficiently right now. And that's just thinking really deeply about how is work changing and how are our educational demands for our community changing. So we're not doing a good job of preparing people in our state for a new economy that is upon us. And for the people who aren't faring well in this transition to a new economy, we don't want them and their children to be living in poverty. And so we really need to revisit some of the decisions we've made over the last 15 or 20 years that have reduced sort of the social safety net. You can see, especially for those families with children, there's a lot of policy recommendations in our report that would help them in terms of helping people find work that pays a family-supporting wage, and then supporting the people who just aren't going to make that transition. We want Michigan to be a high-prosperity state where jobs pay well and where if you work, you earn a decent living. And we're really far from that right now. And so we have a sort of policy agenda that we think addresses that.
What do you think the political will is to be able to look at these suggestions and look at these problems you point out and actually implement some of these policy changes?
I think there's a lot of evidence that our leaders believe that we only want to hear a message about the past. I believe that our communities are ready to hear about visions for making a successful transformation to sort of a future economy, that we know we are not going to have the economy of the 1960s again. We need to figure out how we can be successful in the new economy. So I don't see people grabbing that yet, but I think the citizens of Michigan are ready for a new agenda.
You'll find Sarah Shapicki's blog post by going to MichiganFuture.org. How are Michigan's women doing? Not great. There's actually two parts to this. Sarah Shapicki, a partner at New Solutions Group and a consultant to Michigan Future, Inc. Thanks so much for talking with us, Sarah.
Thanks for your interest.
And one note not mentioned in this interview. Shapicki obtained her health data from the American Health Rankings 2016 Health of Women and Children Report.